Well, over the last several months, we've become increasingly aware of how hurtful our culture is to women. We've become increasingly aware even how Christian leaders, conservative Christian leaders, have hurt women, allowed for abuse, ridicule, objectifying, overlooking issues in our world and even overlooking issues in the church. Probably like you, I've been grieved by so many of the Me Too stories. Surprised at friends that I grew up with when we went through high school together, hearing their stories come out 30 years later of abuse, harassment, assault in a church youth group. I've been saddened by stories of abuse in our broader community. Like you, sickened by the recent criminal conviction of beloved father figure Bill Cosby. Troubled by misconduct of Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein. Of course, other politicians, Barney Franks, newsmen, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, and others. And then just last week, more than 2,500 Southern Baptist women signing a petition denouncing the denominational leader and Southwestern Theological Seminary president, Paige Patterson, because of some inappropriate gender-specific comments, objectifying women, as well as saying hurtfully to women who are married and in abusive relationships, that they should stay in those relationships. And unfortunately, this attitude and climate is not limited to our Baptist brothers and sisters. I've heard the same thing coming out of the mouths of other church leaders in our community. It seems that simply the sheer number of women who are speaking out suggests that this is a prevalent problem, not just in our culture, but even within the church at large. More and more women, including some self-described conservatives, see comments and behaviors by church leaders not just inappropriate, but incompatible with the Bible, God's word to us. And so on this Mother's Day, on this Mothering Day, on this day when we celebrate and honor women, we as men, we as a church, need to stand up for our girls, our daughters, our sisters, our wives, our mothers. It's all of us as the church, but man, I'm speaking especially to us. It's our responsibility and our privilege, not just to talk about it, but to be active in honoring our women and standing up for them and defending them and protecting them. As followers of Jesus Christ, we as Plano Bible Chapel, and I as one of its leaders, will be a public voice and a private refuge for victims of abuse, harassment, assault. We're here with you. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to sweep it under the rug. We're going to deal with it biblically and appropriately before the Lord with integrity. We won't be silent for all that we're learning and all that we're hearing. And even though this issue of gender roles and issues is a current hot topic, I recognize that there are some radicals out there, and we are not moving the direction of feminism politically or morally. We're not going to downgrade men. We're going to say, here's who we are as men and women, boys and girls, teenagers, created in the image of God to bring glory to his name by how we live and how we treat one another. And as we point people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the hope for our culture and our country and our church. And so our view of women reveals what we think God says about not only just half the women in our church, but half of the people in our world, both those who are born and the unborn, to defend them and stand for them. We realize that our view of women will also determine how we're going to treat our female friends, our coworkers, our fellow students, those in our youth group, those in our Sunday school classes, those in our small groups, those in our church, including those in our home. And so this morning, with that backdrop of what's going on in our world and our culture and the church at large, I want us to look at what the Bible says about how we're to treat one another, and particularly the significant timeless truth that comes from the Bible that tells us that God uses women of faith to influence our lives for our good. And God uses women of faith to impact our country, our community, our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so not elevating women above men, but giving them the proper place and space and relationships that we see God gives all of us, and especially women in our homes, our church, and community. The first thing that I think we see is that women are image bearers of God. Women are image bearers of God. An image bearer of God tells us that women, as well as men, but not lesser than men, are equal, created as a person of God's blessing and love. An image bearer indicates a relationship of close fellowship that exists between creator and the created individual. And this image is found in the type of relationships that have characteristics that are distinctly male and distinctly female and are to be just celebrated, recognized, appreciated, valued, and loved. Genesis 1:27 points this, where God tells us that God created mankind in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And so as women are image bearers of God, we not only recognize their identity in Christ appropriately and lovingly as God distinctly created them, but we celebrate them. And we honor them. Women are image bearers, equal to men as image bearers of Christ. Now, this may sound obvious, but think of the ways that this is taken and twisted in our world. We're the same, but we're also distinctively different for God's glory. And that's a great thing. Men, you should be saying amen right there. Women are, secondly, co-heirs in Christ. And as co-heirs, part of the family relationship indicates that we're family. We're related to our God in heaven who created us, not only as his creation, but as part of his family. We share an inheritance. We share the sufferings of Christ for his glory. We share an eternal future. One of many verses that point us to this is Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. This great chapter where Paul turns the page from the condemnation that is there because of our sin and says that therefore, because of Jesus Christ, there is therefore no condemnation for boy or girl, man or woman, who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ. And as such, the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Women, you are co-heirs in Christ, and as such, have tremendous value and worth. You have equal spiritual gifts given supernaturally from God to you as his child as you trusted in Christ as your Savior. You have an equal but different shape. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, experience that are all to be used for God's glory, that we all may be glorified in him. You have equal influence. And yet we also understand from other places that talk about the order and the accountability within the church, that while we have equal gifts, equal influence, we have different roles. And where we, as a church leaders, want to value the role of women, we realize it's different. Different responsibilities. Going back to last fall, we as elders have been taking a look at how we are working and serving, not only as fellow image bearers, but also co-heirs in Christ. And wanting to make sure that women have the appropriate and biblical voice and leadership within the church. We're not looking at anything crazy or changing our doctrine or theology, but wanting to pray and consider and get wisdom, get advice, both from our former elders as well as from women who are leaders in our church, to say, how can we do better? How can we follow the Lord in a more Christ-like way without compromising Scripture and the authority that I know as a man is there for me in my home and here for me in the church? But recognizing that we're co-heirs in the family, we can do better. And we're working to that end. Stay tuned and talk with us. We're in this together. Just as a husband and wife lead their home together, women, we lead this church together, and we need you. Men, you should be saying amen there with me too. Third, women are co-laborers for the gospel, co-workers. We're in this ministry, this mission of leading all people, men and women, boys and girls, regardless of age, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity. We're leading all people to a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus by faith. One of my favorite stories is that of Jesus choosing Mary Magdalene to be the first person to be a witness of his resurrection. I want to encourage you to go and look at it this week, but just the important verses that are significance come from John chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, where Jesus, as soon as Mary Magdalene figured out that he wasn't just a gardener, that he was her risen Savior, he said to her, "Go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Get that. Jesus appeared first to a woman. That shouldn't be surprising to us. And yet somehow it is. And it shouldn't be that Jesus chose Mary to be the first to recognize him and see him. And he said to her, "You go and you tell the men." And she did. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. Think about that scene. These men, the 12 or 11 at that point, that had walked with Jesus, were hiding behind closed doors. And Mary Magdalene, this one who had been healed emotionally and mentally, comes running to them. I wonder how she knocked on the door. And I wonder what they said, how long it took them to open the door. But finally, she told them that Jesus was alive. "I have seen the Lord." Why? because she's a co-laborer, a co-worker in the gospel. One of the significant reasons I'm standing before you here today is because of the influence of a woman in my life. It was a woman who first introduced me not only to my Savior, but of my need for a Savior. My mom taught Good News Clubs in her house in Brainerd, Minnesota. It didn't take long for me to figure out I was a sinner. I knew that from all the spankings I got. What I needed help seeing is the hope and forgiveness of a Savior. And it was my mom. It was a woman who prayed for me during days of walking away from him. It was my mom who loved me and pointed me to Jesus. And I could list off dozens and dozens of women who continually and constantly point me to Jesus. And I'm looking at many of you here this morning. Thank you for being a co-worker in the gospel. You know, I think of Ann Henserling leading Kingdom Kids. For 20 years, Ann has been leading our Awana clubs, pointing boys and girls and others to Jesus. Praise God for women, for you, that God chooses to use in the gospel to tell others, I have seen the Lord and I believe in him. Women are also to be revered with mutual submission, to be filled and controlled by the Spirit. Paul talks about the way that this looks is by mutually submitting to one another. This idea that when God controls us, we experience harmony in our relationships and a balance as co-image bearers and co-heirs, co-workers in the gospel, because we are mutually submitting and honoring to one another. And when we do this in the home, in the church, in our school, and in the workplace, God is glorified when his Spirit controls us. Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. How do we do this? By speaking to one another, by giving thanks always. How do we be filled with the Spirit? By submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Unfortunately, over the years, I've seen some really foolish men take the next verse, wives, submit to your husbands, without considering previous verse, in verse 21, of mutually submitting to one another by being controlled by the Spirit. I've seen foolish men use submission as a weapon for control and as an excuse for abuse. It seems to me that if marriage is a picture of Christ in its church and his love for his church, it can't portray a groom who abuses or neglects his bride. Verbally, emotionally, physically, or sexually, there's no place for that between a husband and a wife, or a dad and his kids, or a wife toward her husband. But as normally the case, even within the church, this forced submission without mutually submitting, being controlled by the Spirit, leads to some disastrous things. I agree that God hates divorce, and yet we see in the prophets, specifically Malachi, where God divorced Israel because of their hardened hearts. And it seems to me that as we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we look at his portrayal of divorce, knowing that he hates it, what does he hate worse? A hardened heart and unloving behavior, especially when someone's life, even emotionally or sexually, is being threatened. God values obedience to him and a tender heart and love. And divorce is always there to protect the one who's being abused or cheated on. God hates it, but he allows it for the protection of the victim. And we as a church will stand with those who are abused. I've got to admit something to you. It's really hard to referee. It requires wisdom and prayer and counsel and feedback. And one of the things that I've heard more and more recently that's been so difficult for women to come forward is thinking, no one will believe me. Women, we want to believe you. And if there's something we need to hear so that we can believe, please come to me or Kurt Whiteside, our chairman of elders. Come to someone. Because we see women are to be respected and revered through mutual submission. And we're going to stand with you. Fifth, women are worthy of special honor. Because men, especially husbands, we have a privilege and a responsibility. And for you teenagers who might one day be married, you have a responsibility for your friends who are females to protect them, to love them, to defend them, to provide for them. First Peter speaks specifically to husbands. And Peter says, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs in the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. We have a privilege and a responsibility of honoring our wives because they're worthy of that honor. Generally speaking, men are stronger physically. That doesn't mean they're better. And we go back to consider we're both image bearers. Men and women are both co-heirs. Men and women are both co-workers, where there's mutual submission. Yet in that, guys, it's up to us. We defend and stand up for our wives, not just provide for them, but we protect them. And we be the ones who do the protecting so that no one has to protect others from us. That includes you teenagers. You know, I mentioned at the beginning, one of the things that's just been so staggering to me is to hear from my friends, other friends that are women, how they were harassed and assaulted in a church youth group. We're not going to have that. Been talking to Ryan and Jeff and others about it. You need to know there's not only a moral boundary, there's a legal one too. And we have a responsibility as godly men to defend others. Are you with me? Women are worthy of this special honor because women are loved as friends and sisters and daughters and wives and mothers. Throughout the New Testament, we see this repetition of love one another being one of the most repeated commandments in the New Testament. Where John says, love one another 6 times. Paul 4 times says, love one another. Peter 2 times. But the command originated not with man, but with the God-man, Jesus, who said, this new commandment I give you, love one another. How? Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You've heard from me biblical definition I see of Christ-like love is giving others what they need the most when they deserve it the least. And in a Christ-like way, it often requires the most of us. Why? Because women are worthy of our respect. They are to be revered and honored and loved, even when, and especially when, they don't feel very lovable or act very lovable. It's those very times that we as men stand up and love, because we also know that there are times we're not very lovable or even likable. But this command comes not from me, but from our Savior Jesus, who for our sakes died and was raised. You know, when our culture teaches simply that boys will be boys, regarding bullying or sexualizing women, and when those even in our church or our culture don't recognize it, it's our responsibility of men to say that is unloving because of who our girls and our teenage young ladies and our women are. And maybe the most loving thing that we can do is stand up and say no. Not just asking our women to say no, but guys, we sang that to one another and teaching our boys and our young men how to love. It's time for us to recognize maybe some of the previously silent female voices and perspectively in our community and understand that perspective, especially in light of what we've seen and heard in this Me Too era. We want to be loving because women, you are worthy of love by the one who created you and the one who died for you. Last thing I want to mention is that women are rewarded biblically for their faith in God's promise. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read, "By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age." Watch this. "She considered that the one who had promised was faithful." Sarah believed that God would fulfill his promise, as laughable as that was. And maybe as we would see the translation of the boy that she had at her old age, it was maybe something like, "Now look who's laughing." Because God is faithful. It doesn't mean that she didn't have doubts. She was human. And who could have imagined that God could do something impossible? But he did. And he does. And God rewards you, women, as you trust him for impossible things, for your kids, for your husbands, for your coworkers, your students, your bosses, your pastors. God rewards women for their faith in his promises because God rewarded Sarah beyond what she imagined. And he's going to reward you in the same way, maybe here on earth, but certainly one day when you see him face to face, where he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What have we been talking about this morning? That God uses women of faith for our good. Women, God uses you for our good. God uses you to impact this community, this neighborhood, this church with the gospel of Jesus Christ.